Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
We're going to get some things right tomorrow. You see, Eddie tweeted us.
I didn't.
He said, all right. I'm going to talk Jimmy Butler and the Suns on D'Lo and KC tomorrow at 5:15 Eastern Standard Time. I'm seeing way too much bad info.
Ooh.
Okay.
There we go.
Okay. I'm just going to bring Eddie into the stream and say, Eddie, Jimmy Butler's Suns, go.
let him cook.
Let that man work.
Let him cook.
Let that man work. My goodness.
It's always a little weird seeing our Eastern time for our show.
Yeah.
Well.
That's all right.
It won't affect Miss P. He's like, oh, yeah, I'll be there at 5.
We don't even know what time zone Miss P is in
right
now.
That's a good point. She could be in the next day at this point.
She could be. Yeah. She could be. That's how she rolled. But shout out to her for always being with us.
We got it. Now we got to keep. This is going down in the on the spreadsheet of things they just got wrong. I mean, Windhorse literally got every game.
You're gonna have to open a new page on that spreadsheet because that was epic.
And he said 5 games. Just disregard Memphis.
Skipped Memphis.
He would have said Ja wasn't playing.
Skipped the Keegan injuries. Skipped the De'Aaron Fox injuries.
Have the Kings had a full team in any of these games?
I think in Doug's first three they did. The Laker game.
Keegan played in all of them?
Keegan, yeah, I think Keegan only missed one, right? No,
Keegan
missed
the one right before Fox started missing games.
Yeah, because
missed one and then Fox missed the next two.
So Keegan just missed one?
I believe so.
Okay. So what was the 76ers game had Keon. So that was the one Keegan missed.
Keegan missed.
He missed two.
Because
Keegan missed the 76ers game where Keon, DeMar, Domas, Malik, and De'Aaron started. Uh-huh. The Grizzlies game, Malik, DeMar, Domas, Keon, and De'Aaron started. And then Keegan was back for the Warriors where he started with DeMar, Domas, Malik, and De'Aaron was out.
The one where everybody was there was Dallas, huh?
De'Aaron, Malik, Domas, Keegan, DeMar, Kevin, Alex,
was Domas Keon, Trey.
Yep. Domas was there, yeah. Yep.
Because Domas missed the Lakers game, didn't he?
Nope, Domas played the Lakers game, too.
No, he did play the Lakers game.
Yeah, yeah, so everyone played the Lakers.
Yeah, Domas was just sick for that Pistons game, right?
He's just sick for the Pistons game. It's going around. It's going around, man. People got sick. Holidays.
Sometimes you just got to get sick.
It's the holidays, man.
Sometimes your tummy hurts. Sometimes your ankle hurts.
Oh, man.
Oh, brother.
I don't know what to believe.
So they
had a full complement of players the first two games of Doug Christie's six-game stint, and they haven't had one since.
Mm. And look, once again, like I said, if you think it's just smoke and mirrors or whatever, cause I'm not fully convinced, like, oh, they're all the way back. Like, of course, like, circumstances and it's only five games. Oh, like, sure. Just be accurate. Durag Domas. Hey, let's go back to those games. During the five-game loser streak, did Domas have any dunks?
Oh, a dunk strike. It was a six-game losing streak, I have no way to go back and look if he had any.
He might not have had any.
He had.
Domas was just laying it up.
Happy as can be post-game now.
Oh, man, just Chatty Cathy up there.
It's literally Luke Walton every time at one press conference.
Domas. Oh, he scored 28 against the Nuggets. Man,
yeah,
you said it.
No bad games.
You said it that day, or the day after, I should say. Man, that game might have been a little bit more gutting than I gave it credit
Denver.
For. Yeah.
Yeah, Denver was tough. I mean, we can look back on, we could be here 2 months from now and look back at that game, and it changed everything. It sent that team into a bit of a spiral, which ended up Mike Brown losing his job. And who knows what happens with Doug. But let's just say we laid out earlier how, you know, close things are in the West. Say they're 2 months from now, they're in the top six. And we could say that I would point – some people would say the Detroit game, obviously, because that's where people lost their jobs. But that Denver game, it just feels like everything would have been different if they would have been able to pull that one off.
Yeah.
It feels like it. Maybe not, but that was a tough one.
Yeah, I mean, they lose to the Lakers. Man, gosh, you look back at these games, it's just brutal. You have that one-point loss, you know, and this is just a brutal sequence of events for Mike Brown. You have that one-point loss. You have a three-point loss to the Lakers. You have a four-point loss to the Lakers. You quit. You quit against the Pacers. We all saw it. And then, you know, that gut-wrenching loss to the Pistons.
In the Lakers game, I can't remember what happened on the Thursday game. I can't remember what happened there. I know it was kind of close, but they kind of pulled away. Saturday was just tough. That was the one they battled back. They didn't get the rebound on 80 missing two free throws. They also had the situation in that.
I had that score wrong. It was a 13-point loss. My bad. It was 113 to 100, not 113 to 110.
They pulled away on it. Yeah, they did. They had to play late in the game there where the ball goes off of AD. The refs can't look at it, don't look at it. Give it to the Lakers. That leads to it. Malik, they didn't call it take foul or clear path on a play that would have tied it up late in the game. It was a lot of close, gut-wrenching losses. And do you think the way they were losing maybe magnified, like, the dire nature of what was going on? Or if it was just five in a row, six in a row, no matter what, five in a row, excuse me, at that time, at home, no matter what, it would have.
I think the biggest factor was at home. Mm-hmm. Like, if I were to take one thing that I go, like, this is the biggest reason, it's at home.
Yeah.
But the Pacers game.
And that was.
And I'll repeat, like, look. I was wrong. I thought he was going to be fired after the Pacers. We thought he was going to be fired after the Pacers game.
Yeah.
The way the Pistons game happened, where Mike, and it had been parroted by players, had kept talking about attention to detail. You are at the time of the Pistons game. That's your 31st game of the season, and you lose the way you lost. That is an attention to detail problem. You have lost at that point four in a row, and we're still talking about letting our foot off the gas. But you just clawed back to 500. You're three games under. and we're talking about letting our foot off the gas. Now, I'm not absolving anyone from this, but has anyone seen them let their foot off the gas in the last six games? You can even include the one that they lost.
No.
Again, I don't want to make excuses. I just have to look like what's different. Mm-hmm. And it hasn't happened. I know everyone. I don't know what's going to happen Friday. You know, that's the toughest team. It's one of the toughest teams they face all year. But what I am very confident in, they won't quit. Mm-hmm. What I really want to see is if Boston gets them, how do they regroup for Chicago the next game?
Yeah.
The next is it the next night?
Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday. Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for.
You're
give me that.
Spot on. I mean, I don't want to blame Mike Brown because I don't know what the issue is, but the big issue that we talked about earlier in the season and all year long really has been how they close games, all this other stuff. They were a horrendous 3-12. In those games. And to be honest with you, they probably lost like their last 10 close games because they weren't winning. They beat the Suns in a close game early on. They beat Toronto at home. So that's two of them, I think. And it like just seems like all the close games for like a month they lost.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden they're the opposite now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't. It could just be happenstance. I don't know, but it looked different. It looked different.
I remember how good that game at Sky River felt when they scored 140.
Oh man!
Against the Spurs.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It was like, yeah, these are the boys we talk about right here.
Yeah. We and back.
Then, and then, two nights later, they scored 141.
Yep. Against the Utah Jazz.
Man. And then they had to stop playing for a while.
Well, they beat the Pelicans and won 111-109. Mm. And that was it. Mm. Nuggets were next. And then we just went over the rest of the
rest of the schedule. They let the foot off the gas on that one, too, quote unquote. The Pelicans the Nuggets? Win.
The Pelicans.
They were up like 13 in the fourth quarter. Mm-hmm. CJ McCollum.
That's right. Yep.
Went crazy.
CJ. Yep. As he does.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
CJ's a jerk. one of the most popular courtside people, not Kenny, that you'll see on your TV every week. Super Kings fan, Lania. She's going to be with us in studio coming up in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, and she's all over the place on your TV.
She's all over the TV.
Golden State, she's all everywhere.
She's on Twitter more than Jake Gaden is right now. Shout out to our boy Jake.
We love you, Jake.
We ride with Jake.
We rocking with my boy Jake, man, all day long.
All day, baby. We'll come back. We got college football playoffs tonight.
Ooh-wee.
We got college football playoffs tonight, and I asked about the most surprising team in the West. I'm not sure that we actually answered that. Who's the most surprising team in the NBA so far?
Mm.
I think there's a couple of different answers for that. A couple of strong cases for a handful of teams in both conferences. So that's all ahead here. Plus Matt George in the final hour of the show. Steven with KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
What's going on, man? Back here. D'Lo and KC on this Thursday afternoon, Sacramento, California. Still waiting for the Kings to play again. They don't play again till tomorrow. But
saw a stat about tomorrow's game.
What you see?
Third time all season Boston off their full rotation.
This is only the third time they've had their full rotation.
Yeah, all year.
Oh. Of course, you know, they got to bring everybody back for the Kings. Of course.
Team's on a five-game winning streak.
Yeah, I think this is. I guess this is about the time I thought Porzingis would come back. I remember, I guess they were saying around Christmas or December or something like that. And here he is. He's back. Looked good the other night against Denver. My boy Tatum still having a hell of a season. Do you think there's anything off with Boston, or are they literally just trying to get to the playoffs?
Just get to the playoffs. They haven't been, like I said, it's the third time all year. They'll have the full rotation tomorrow. So just get to the playoffs. Everyone's healthy. They'll be fine.
There's no measurement for them outside of that anymore.
It's just a seven-game series now.
Yeah.
Repeat is the key.
They're not even bad this year, too. They're 24 and 10, I think, around there, something like that.
They've been fine. Not bad at all. They're 27 and 10.
The Cavs are just crazy.
Yeah, the Cavs are just,
the Cavs can get them to in the playoffs, but I'm not worried about Boston this regular season.
How far can the Cavs go? Seriously.
They can go all the way.
They could go to the finals.
They can go all the way, absolutely. I think the Cavs, the Celtics, and the Knicks can come out of the East.
I think the Knicks story stuff is over.
Give me that one more time. The Cavs,
the Knicks, and the Celtics can come out of these. You're done with the Knicks?
Yeah, but it's just because Boston and Cleveland are just that much better. I think Boston's getting back to these conference finals, and Cleveland is.
I think Cleveland's better than the Knicks.
Cleveland is just historically good right now.
They might be. I mean, their record is. Like, I'm not taking nothing away from Cleveland. The Knicks just finished winning, what, 12 in a row?
I thought it was 9.
Okay.
Because that was the Thunder matchup, right? I think it was 12 in a row versus
that's
9
right,
in a row.
Right. That's right.
Knicks are good. It's just when I'm looking at, like, I don't know.
I just don't see them getting 4 games against Boston or Cleveland in the playoffs.
What's Milwaukee turn into? That's the one I'm most interested in.
Milwaukee's on the fringe. I wanted to put them in there as they might be. They might be a title contender.
What about your boys? Paolo's back tonight?
He is.
Didn't Paolo once rob you at gum? Who was it?
No, he did.
Was it Paolo?
I think Paolo's back tomorrow, by the way.
Oh, tomorrow.
Yeah, Chris Haynes did a video today. Friday. Yeah, Chris Haynes did a video earlier today.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
I saw that last
Thursday
or Friday. I must have been
really distracted this morning. I apparently missed a lot. Yeah, it was Thursday or Friday. I thought I was just lost on the day.
And if they're playing back to back, I would have.
Yeah, playing the second one.
Yeah. No need to bring him back on the first one. Yeah, man. I like Orlando. I think they're a little young to be able to come out of the East or anything like that. But that's going to be that scenario in the playoffs. The 4-5 matchup, which might be, you know, like Milwaukee and Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a crazy series.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wins that one, like the second round is going to be crazy. Because if Cleveland is the one,
mm-hmm.
and maybe this is unfair, specifically if Cleveland is the one,
mm-hmm.
whoever they play, Milwaukee or Orlando, is mm-hmm. going to give them a problem.
I agree. Yep, I agree.
A problem. And then on the other side of the bracket, I'm expecting Boston and New York. I think New York, obviously, because I picked New York to go to the finals, but I think that's a hell of a series.
No, it is, for sure.
A hell of a series.
Pacers quietly 2 games above 500.
They are, man. They are. Got to tip
my
hat
to them. They won 4 straight. Yeah. Yep.
Got to tip my hat to them. They're working on turning their season around. And then you see who's like creeping up on the play-in, playoff situation in the East?
No.
Philly.
Oh, Philly been there. Right now. Yeah, Philly been there since they had that 9-12 turnaround. They've kind of been in that like 11 spot.
They're only 5 games under 500.
That's a wild sentence. So Philadelphia 76ers talking about they're only 5 games under 500.
Weren't they about 11?
Oh, no, yeah, they were ass. Like, I didn't even think, when I said they couldn't turn it around, I didn't even think they could get here.
Yeah, I thought they were borderline.
But my energy won't change. Hey, salute. But I don't buy this team at all.
I don't buy
the 76ers.
I think they were they were 3-14 at one point. They were 11 games under. So the fact that they were able to get to this point, they'll probably get in the play-in, do all that. I'm not ruling them out being a tough team. I don't know if they can. I don't know if Joel and all those guys can hold up for a whole playoff season. That's why I wouldn't say come out the East or anything like that. But now that they're here, now they've gotten to the point where they're back above water, I wouldn't want to. I don't know. Boston cool with playing them in the first round?
Philly?
Yeah.
Let me finish my lunch. Yeah. Yes, please. I would love to play Philly every year for the rest of my life.
I know it's the regular season and nobody cares, but they handle business on Christmas in Boston. Once again, nobody cares. I get it.
Philly, I'm sorry. I stopped taking Philly seriously after they blew that series in game six. They don't have it.
Fair enough. I look at those guys whole, and I won't dismiss them. If you told me Philly will have all their guys come playing time, I'd be like, all right, well, I got my eye on them.
This is Celtics disrespect at this point.
Okay, that's fine.
I can see the Cavs. I just don't see the Sixers.
Yeah, I don't buy it. Hmm. We'll see what the next, 40-something games look like. But I'm just like, and good for them. Like, they were terrible. And I did not think they were capable of pulling themselves to where they are right now, which is 15 and 20.
Yeah.
But when a series comes, I'm not going to take them seriously.
Maxie's a problem.
Yeah, Maxie's terrific.
Maxie is a problem.
And yeah, they have a problem, and then they have some problems.
The problems is staying healthy. That's what I'm saying. If you tell me, like, okay, they're together going into the playoffs, everybody's healthy and ready to go.
You going to pick them?
No, I wouldn't pick them against Boston.
Cleveland? Man, you guys hate Cleveland, boy.
I wouldn't pick them against any of those guys. I wouldn't pick them to win the series. But I wouldn't be as dismissive as you guys are about them. Like,
I'm not dismissive. I'm just telling you I don't believe in them. I'm not trying to be dismissive.
I think they can win a series. I think they can.
Against one of those teams.
I think they can. Okay. If they're together, I think they can. I wouldn't pick them to do it. I wouldn't predict them to do it. But I think they can.
Okay. All right.
I feel like I've been fair to Cleveland this year as well.
No, you hate the whole city. Don't do this.
It's a good basketball team.
There's a lot of evidence.
Not a vacation destination, that's for sure. It's a good basketball team, though.
If Complex said, hey, I'm going to send you guys to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and I need Jesse to go because we need someone there. Would you go?
Yeah, I'm getting paid. I'll just go to the hotel and sleep while I'm not working, but I'll be there. What's the closest city next to Cleveland? I'll go to Cincinnati.
You go to Columbus.
Columbus. I'll go to Columbus. I'm sure there's stuff to do in Columbus.
Nothing to do there.
Go catch a Blue Jackets game.
Well.
All right.
Might cough from all the dust in Cleveland or something.
What dust? There's no dust in Cleveland. Wow. Unbelievable. Is Cleveland the most surprising team of the year? Obviously, when we talk about like surprising teams, we think about, man, this team came out of nowhere. But Cleveland didn't come out of nowhere. It's just they're 32-4.
It's probably Cleveland. I'm thinking of Houston too, though. Houston is their record.
People had Houston up,
yeah,
just not like this.
Not like this. It's kind of the little cousin version of Cleveland. Like, people thought Cleveland would be good, just not like this.
Yeah,
I think people had their eye on Houston, but
what about Memphis?
Not a lot of people were on them, though.
Yeah, a lot of people were on Memphis. I was wrong because I was like, y'all are crazy. Like, you think they're gonna turn it around like that? And in fact, they have.
Yeah,
so
good job.
Salute.
The Clippers are surprising to me.
Memphis is a little surprising to me. Like, to this degree, that's a lot. Yeah. What one did you just say?
The Clippers.
Oh, the fact that they're just
three games over 500. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd be like where Phoenix is right now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Orlando, you had Orlando higher than I did. I think the fact that if I had told you they lost Paolo for a month or whatever.
Yeah, they've done a great job with
that. And they've had.
They were missing Franz in there, too.
Yeah.
Same injury.
Yeah, they're 22-16.
Mm.
I think this might be because their coach is a psychopath.
He is. You want to talk about fighting?
That dude is
straight. I'd like to see him and Doug.
What's that, February 5th? I think that's February 5th. There's the 13th round. Doug versus, was it Jamal?
Yeah. VJ brings up a good Detroit.
Well, yeah, and that's another one. Detroit 19-18 right now. Mm. A game over 500. Not just, firmly entrenched in the play-in mix. They're two games behind Indiana.
Yeah.
Check that. They're a half a game behind Indiana.
Mm.
for the play-in spot. Or the playoff spot, the sixth seed.
Let me see. Does Indiana play tonight?
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 I'll include your Atlanta Hawks in that.
I think Mark Spears had a stat he tweeted out where this is the first time Cade Cunningham's been over 500 beyond four games of the Pistons season.
That's crazy. Congrats to him.
Seeds 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9 are separated by about two and a half games.
And you said the Pistons are a half game behind Indiana for six, huh?
Correct.
Well, they'll be tied after tonight.
Who the Pacers got? Or
they'll make up that half game tonight. Detroit will.
Oh, right. Detroit got Golden State. Yeah. Yep.
I'm a little surprised that Golden State has. Now, this is more of an in season surprise because I didn't think they were like 13-1 good or something like that. But I saw enough of them. We're like, no, they're actually a lot better than I thought they would be. Mm-hmm. And for them to kind of fall off to where they are now, that's a little, I'm surprised by that. I thought they'd come back down to earth a little bit. I didn't think they would go to the depths of hell.
They're not quite at the depths, but they're nearing them.
They see it.
Yeah, they see it.
I'm surprised by that. I get my jokes off and everything. I don't know, man. Like, they can't play this bad all year. Like, it could just be a rough patch.
Well, yeah. Toughest part is you kind of used one of your moves, like, to get Schroeder or whatever, and you got worse after that.
Yeah.
It's like, now your next one, unless I'm missing something, like, you probably trade Kuminga to do anything of substance next.
I just looked at this out of curiosity because I was looking at the scoreboard for tonight. The Lakers game against the Hornets, we know that's been postponed. Mm-hmm. That was the start of a 5-game homestand.
For the Lakers?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. San Antonio on Saturday, again on Monday, and then Miami on Wednesday, Brooklyn on Friday. I'd be stunned if the first San Antonio game happens on Saturday. Tough timing. The Lakers are, or maybe it's great timing for them. They'd rather be home for this, but the Lakers were set to start a 5-game homestand tonight with that Charlotte game that was postponed. Mm. I'll take a peek at what the Clippers look like as well. I'm gonna be locked into the playoffs, though. If I'm gonna be honest, I'm gonna be locked into the college football playoffs tonight. I'm excited for that. Keep an eye on the NBA scoreboard. Just quick. I don't know that there's a game. Houston and Memphis. I might need to two screen that.
Houston,
but outside,
be good. I mean,
outside of that,
I also want to see. I just saw who they're playing. Who's Minnesota playing?
Orlando.
Yeah. Paolo's not coming back, but when I thought he might come back, that's what I wanted to see. But college football playoff is where it's at. Well, I've been waiting for this for a long time, just to get to this point.
This is a tough trip for the Hornets. They got the Clippers on Saturday.
Oof.
I don't imagine either of those games are going to be played, and they're going to have to figure out how to make these games up. The Clippers are starting a 3-game homestand. They don't have any games until Saturday. They have a 3-game homestand that starts with Charlotte, Miami, Brooklyn. That's on a Saturday, Monday, and a Wednesday. Then they head to Portland and come back and play 4 more at home. Mm. How this is all navigated will certainly be interesting from a league perspective.
And then how they work on the makeups, you know what I'm saying? Like, because Charlotte, maybe they got one more West Coast trip out here, but... You know, they're going to have to figure that out. Like, how do they get back to playing these L.A. games again?
And just because they have the West Coast road trip, it doesn't mean that it works.
Exactly.
Like, they could be every other day with Sacramento, Portland, Phoenix, whatever, and there's no real way to fit it in, and you're winding up having to fly across the country to make up a game because you have, you know, three days off or something in February.
Right.
Or there's an uncomfortable conversation about when the All-Star break ends.
That's true. That they got games.
Yeah, you got your days. Yeah, you got days. Yeah, and you could try to. I forgot the All-Star game is up the road.
It is.
We got the credential request yesterday. I was like, oh, forgot. Okay.
You think they would accept Reese as a cameraman?
I'm hoping they'd accept Leezy as a cameraman.
Right.
D'Lo and KC live from the All-Star game. We'll see.
Oh, man.
Orange Bowl tonight on ESPN 1320. Coverage beginning at 4 o'clock. Penn State versus Notre Dame. Both teams look to shed some labels here.
I'm with the Fighting Irish tonight, man. With the Fighting Irish.
Well.
Let's go Nittany Lions.
Oh.
Me too.
Look at
him.
I'm, wow. No. No.
Wait, you?
No.
Wait, what?
No. Yeah, yeah. No.
What are you doing with him?
I'm with.
That's four. Notre Dame.
Yep.
The Hawks.
Yep.
Who are they? I already Mike forgot. McCarthy. Yeah, Mike McCarthy.
And who was, there was another coach.
Sean Payton.
Yeah,
Sean Payton.
Wow.
And now he hates The Rock.
Yeah.
And now I hate The Rock. Well, all of those things are true.
I thought you were looking over because we were teaming up against the Fighting Irish today.
Nah.
Notre Dame's good. They, like, I get my jokes, but.
Marcus Freeman,
no,
Marcus
good.
Freeman only.
Yeah.
I like James Franklin. He's a good coach.
Yeah.
That's a good team. Franklin, 4-19. Talk about shedding labels. We talk about Notre Dame not being able to win big games. 4-19 versus top 10 teams as the Penn State head coach.
Penn State is just, they're just not that program. Like you said, James Franklin has done a great job over there at Penn State. He's got them to a level where they're, you know, playoff contention, you know, fringe national championship contention every year. But it's, they're not that. And while Notre Dame hasn't been that a lot of the times, I understand that. Marcus Freeman, I think he's done, he's that dude. He's that dude when it comes
I'm
to
with
coach.
You.
And I think he's going to have those guys ready to go. And, yeah, I think Notre Dame wins this one. And they're going to the national championship.
Man.
Game. Wow.
They could win it.
They can.
Notre Dame can absolutely win the national championship.
I'm a believer in Freeman, man.
Me too.
I'm a believer in him. I do have my eye on, hopefully, fingers crossed, future 49er Tyler Warren, the tight end at Penn State.
Mm.
He'd be a great little successor to George Kittle. Great.
Little successor.
What okay. 6'6", 257.
Mm.
He can do it all, man. He can run the ball. He can come out of the backfield and catch a pass. He can line up. He can block. I don't think he's even going to be around when the 49ers are picking it. I don't know if, like, he's a first-round talent. I don't know if they want to use a first-rounder on the tight end. But I'm thinking about life after George Kittle. He would be a nice guy to hand the throne to.
What do you think about Riley, the quarterback for Notre Dame, the kid that came from Duke?
A little shaky. A little shaky. Hit or miss, a little trick or treat. But while Penn State, I look at Penn State as them hanging their hat on the defensive end. Mm-hmm. They can make it difficult for Riley, but I think Freeman, much like the Texas A&M game to start the season, Freeman's going to protect him a little bit and make sure he's not in situations where he can be rattled or you know, be in adverse situations. So that's where the coaching comes into play and make sure you don't put him in those positions. And I think it sounds unfair to the young man, but I feel like Marcus Freeman and the offensive coordinator, they'll protect him to make sure they can get through this game. Because I really think Notre Dame is probably looking at it as, if we don't turn the ball over, we'll keep Penn State from scoring. They're not going to put points on the board like that. Our defense is top flight. So if we cannot turn the ball
over. It's funny. Because Penn State's probably thinking, you know, if we could.
Exactly. Find a way to get the ball to Tyler Warren four times and have him break one or something like that. Like, they're thinking the same thing. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of offense in this game. I don't know if we're going to see a lot of offense. These are two really top flight defenses.
Yeah.
So
let me see that.
Yeah.
It's exciting, man. This is, well, uncharted territory, so to speak. We've been to the Final Four before. This is the playoff world that we've lived in for the last handful of years. And now we're down to the Final Four of this new version of the college football playoff, which hasn't been stellar.
No.
It's been less than memorable.
Yeah.
It just, I don't think it's really been what people've hoped. There's been a lot of blowouts, but I don't think we're getting a blowout in either of these games you talk about. There might not be a lot of offense in this game tonight. You might very well be right. I'd be shocked if there wasn't some offense tomorrow, though.
There's going to be some offense tomorrow. They also talked about, I read a story about how, like, weather and stuff like that is kind of affecting the college because they're bracing for, like, this winter storm in Dallas, and it's affected the Cotton Bowl ticket sales and traveling and all this other stuff, and they just had to deal with something, and obviously something more important, you know, lives, but in New Orleans, where they had to scramble, you know, and do some stuff around that. So when you talk about the college football playoff itself, there's all these things that they've had to deal with throughout the time. But I think these two semifinal games are going to be good. They're going to look different, like you just talked about. One's going to be a slugfest. I think the other one's going to be a shootout.
But like when you think what, mid-20s or lower
for
tonight?
Yeah, nothing more than mid-20s. I'm looking at like a 2017 max.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go. I think I'm going. I think I'm gonna go a little higher than that.
Yeah.
I think they could score.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, I mean, you said it perfectly. It's not exactly Rhodes Scholar football and analyst here, but yeah, don't turn the ball over. Like if these teams protect the ball, I think they're capable of scoring. I think both may be a little anxious coming out the gate, but especially with they might not carry the history of their respective universities, but they're aware of it. It's like De'Aaron didn't carry, you know, 10 years of playoff droughts when he got here, but he knew of it.
He knew what time it was.
Yeah, when that team broke the drought a couple of years ago, like they knew what it was, even though they weren't responsible for it. These guys, they're aware of it. Like they hold it, and I think that could start, that could lead us out to maybe something a little slow. But I think it'll pick up. I'm gonna go a little bit over. I don't do fine. 31-28. I'm gonna go a little higher than you. 28-20, you know, something like that. I think we get more points than you're expecting tonight.
I'm getting Notre Dame with the win. I don't think Penn State gets into the 20s. Man. Penn State don't get into the 20s. Not on that defense. Not with that offense. I think. I got Notre Dame by two scores.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
In the Orange Bowl.
This is exciting.
It is.
You can get full coverage of tonight's game here. Right here. Right. ESPN 1320.
We're going right after our show, huh?
That's right. Yep. We're going right out to the Orange Bowl after the show. We'll come back. We got tomorrow's game, too. We'll come back. Linnea is going to be with us, the courtside fan. Everybody knows from the Golden One Center. Oh, I can't wait to see what she's wearing. Who's got more expensive?
I'm gonna go.
She's got Gucci. Yeah, it's Gucci.
Okay, that's her bag.
She's 1,000%. Yeah. I think she might be Miss Gucci. She got like an endorsement deal with Gucci.
Maybe.
And if she doesn't, she should, because she is the most visible Kings fan out there. Linnea joins us next here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Here, look. Kenny just left again.
I went to go get our guest.
Oh, that must be what it is. He just mumbles stuff and like walks away, and I don't really know what he's saying. He must have said, I got to go grab Linnea. She's here. So Linnea, and I don't even know what happened. I think a Kings fan, I know I saw a post that said, I don't know who this woman is, but I love her. And it was just a perfectly framed shot of Doug Christie walking in the frame and Linnea like right behind her, and that, you know, they clipped it and everyone was, you know, I guess went crazy for it I was like, yo, that's our girl, Ania.
That's the homie right there. Homie. I make sure when I go to these games, I make sure I got to go say what's up after every game. We have a little talk about what we just saw.
That's because you can get down to the floor. Not all of us can get down.
Well, not you can. You're just not there at the end of the game.
Okay. All right.
But yeah, she's pulling up as we speak.
Did you see this hit House of Highlights yesterday, but Legends post the video today. Did you see the Russell Westbrook Zubac video?
No.
Where he's like, you better box out. They're on the lines on a free throw. You better box out. Zubac's like, you're not going to get it. He's like, okay, I'm here. Box out. Russell boxes him out, gets the rebound, gets the put back in and one.
Oh, shout out Russ. Russ has done a really, really good job with the Nuggets.
He's done a great job.
He's done a really good
job. I'll root for the Nuggets to win the championship because of that dude.
Oh, let me see. Do I have a player like
that? I mean, that's if the, you know, of course, if the Kings aren't winning the championship.
I'm trying to think if I have a player like that in the league. Do I feel that way about Ant? I don't know.
He's literally telling him, you better box out. You're not going to get it. Box out. Box out. Shot goes up. He gets in front of him, gets the rebound, put back. Zubac fouls him. Unbelievable.
Damn, Zubac.
Unbelievable. Oh, I guess he. Oh, I take that back. He didn't foul him. He just got the put back. I thought he got an and one. That's my bad.
Hey, quick side note, real quick. Tom Palisario, he is reporting that.
Oh, yeah. Gucci all over the place.
What we doing?
Yeah, Gucci all over the place.
I'll get back to remind me about Tom Palisario when we get in. But we got family in the house.
We got family. We got royalty in the house. Hey! Hey, hey.
Yeah, yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
So I gotta let my girl know we on the air right now, because when we be talking after the game, we be talking.
Mm-hmm.
So we on the air right now. We can't even talk the way we be talking. But we gonna have a good time though.
Absolutely.
We were asking each other, like, what's she going to be wearing today?
We know.
We both agreed it was going to be Gucci.
You know, I got to represent Gucci. I'm not getting paid by this.
Well, see, that's the thing. You're so visible, you should be.
Right, I was about to say, Luke.
Put that microphone right a little closer to you.
Let me work on that Gucci contract. Luke.
Yeah.
We'll get that cracking.
I mean,
you
do contracts. You can get this done. Come on now.
Yes, that would be lovely.
So this is right now one of the most famous people in the city of Sacramento. I mean, she's everywhere. She's on all the
broadcasts. It's Doug and Lania.
Yeah.
It's Doug, Christy, and Lania.
They're tag team.
They're the top two. They're the top two famous people in the city right now.
You were texting me. You didn't see all the stuff that was on TV.
No,
people were just like sending it to you. That you're everywhere.
Oh yeah, no. People always they come up to me during the games too, and they'll be like, "We just love you. You know, we always are watching you and looking at what you're wearing and stuff." But yeah, no. People keep sending me all these Twitter feeds and posts and Facebook groups and posts, and people just trying to figure out who I am, but also expressing a lot of love. So.
Well, let's work backwards a little bit.
I appreciate
bit real quick.
It.
Let's work backwards. Monday night. They played Monday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, Monday night.
Whew.
That was crazy. That was awesome. And you, like Dame said, you were going through it with Doug and everybody else. You was right there the entire time. And what was that game like, being there for that?
First of all, I felt like I was about to have a whole entire heart attack a few times. I felt like my heart was like, I literally had to like take breaths at the timeouts too. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like I had to recover.
Lania going over to the water boy. Like,
I'm like,
give me one of the towels.
I'm like, okay, let me stop and breathe for a second. You know, I always tell the medical staff too for the Kings. I'd be like, y'all need to look out for me too. Look, I know these players are your priority, but can y'all, you know, just look out for me, because I definitely be going through all the changes. But no, wasn't that a phenomenal game? I mean, it was like
incredible,
ridiculous. But it was so exciting. It was so fun to watch. And what I love the most about it too, just talking about our players real quick, is just, I mean, they were tired. I mean, I'm talking like dog tired. Like, they had just come off the back-to-back Golden State the night before. Mm-hmm. You know, they looked tired. Like, they looked like they was about to pass out in the fourth quarter. Like, they looked like it. I remember like they tried to pull Keon out. They tried to pull, you know, Domas, you know, Keon waving him off like, no, like I got this. Like, just, you know, let me stay. And like the sheer like determination, will, and like just pushing through, and the drive that they had to keep going and keep. Anyway, it was just phenomenal. Yeah. Yes. So anyway, that was a great game. It was a, a pleasure to be on the sideline. Y'all know that sitting where I sit, I get to hear everything.
Yeah. So, did you curse at Mark Davis for me? Because Mark Davis always a problem. He always a problem, man. And so they don't throw you out. You could say, hey, this is what KC said, blank, blank, blank. But somebody got to curse him out at some point.
I don't cuss anybody. Honestly, I don't curse on the sidelines. I don't cuss at the refs or any of that kind of stuff. I mean, every now and then it might be like, what? Oh, come on. Or, you know what? Never mind. That's not true. I have definitely said the BS word. But not where they can hear me necessarily, but I said, you know, that's
bullshit. When they go down the court.
I've definitely said. When they leave,
I'll be talking again.
I'll be right there with them, too. Like, when they doing a little, like, deliberations, I'll be standing there, too, like a coach, like, okay, so what y'all doing? Like, you know, what's happening? Like, oh, okay, that's... All right, they coming back. It's a successful challenge. Successful challenge. All right, we good. I knew it was because it should be because there's no other explanation anyway. They better have ruled it a successful challenge. Like, come on, let's go. I'm telling them when to call the success. Like, I'm telling them, like, no, we need to review
that,
right? This. Like, no.
I said, well, when Mike was here, you would tell Mike.
Well, all right.
No.
Let's be careful here.
I know.
Okay, let's try this. You say you hear everything.
Yeah.
Does it sound different?
Yeah, because it's like, you know how you kind of, maybe on TV you could see that they are having words come out of their mouths, but it's different when you can actually hear the words.
But what I mean is,
the players too.
Does it sound different now that Doug's standing in front of you versus Mike standing in front of you?
So.
And that doesn't mean better.
Yeah, no, just different.
Does it sound different?
I know I'm going to come to Mike in a second, so let me put that to the side for a second and just talk about Doug for a second. Doug is a phenomenal coach, first of all, and I love his positive speak. He reminds me of me, because on the sideline, I sound like your sister, your mom, you know, it's okay, shake it off, we got this, you know, keep going, you know, like that type of stuff. And, you know, he is just like so encouraging to them, telling them to be aggressive, telling them to drive through, telling them to do, you know, X, Y, and Z, but also just encouraging them, you know, when they make mistakes and letting them know that it's okay to keep going. I get to be right there listening to him and trying not to get in the way of the coaches, which has happened a few times.
Oh, I was about to say, it feels like a couple times. Yeah. I can see you bumping into Christy a couple. I'm like, wait a minute.
No, we're mindful of each other. I think, you know, every coach that comes on the sideline knows, like, I got to look out for Lania. Like, watch out for everything else. But Lania is behind me somewhere. So let me check for her first before we keep going too far. But no, seriously, Doug has done a great job in, you know, watching the players respond to him has been pretty amazing to watch.
Yeah,
and I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, what else comes from here on out.